All right, Sam Amick will join us in just a couple minutes. Welcome into The Drive. Dave, Katie, Matt George, 339-1140.
For a limited time only.
Now you're on that. 1-800-920-1140. You can always text us at 44-1140. A lot of really good conversations going on the text line. And as always, happy to continue these outside of the show, at Carmichael Dave, at Katie underscore C, both of those on Twitter. Happy to talk to you about that. But I did say, listen, the intersection of sports and politics, especially these days, is increasingly more difficult to avoid. And so what we did is just kind of the last break covered a lot of stuff. Kevin Durant's comments about not going to the White House, the Yawkey Way over in Boston, and ownership wanted to get rid of that. A lot of the different things that we spoke about, and we'll leave that in that segment because there are people that say, hey, listen, I want the distraction. I want sports. I don't want to deal with any real world stuff, and I respect that too. I do. I do respect that. I do respect people saying, hey, listen, if I wanted news, I'd go somewhere else. If I wanted politics, I'd go somewhere
else. The only thing that I say to that, and I completely understand, 100% understand where people are coming from with that, it's more and more difficult. It's increasingly difficult in the sports world to not address these stories because the intersection between sports and politics is out there. It's vibrant right now.
Well, and our next guest writes for USA Today on a national level, a guy who I said before we went to break last time is about as close to Kevin Durant as any member of the media. It's Sam Amick. Sam, it's Dave and Katie. How are you?
Hello, my old friends. How are you guys doing? Nice to hear your voices.
Are you in a bathroom?
No, is it echoey? I was having problems with the phone. Let me take the headpiece off.
That's okay.
There you go.
Sam was trying the headpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those headpiece. Yeah, is that better?
I have yet the only headpiece I've ever found that I get good reception out of on both ends is the kind that's like the headphones with the little mic stand.
Really?
That comes
you've
with,
actually had one of those?
Well, I had one. I have one in my home office.
How old are you? 60?
I'm just saying that one's fine. But the ones where like you just put it in your Sam is the headpiece you've got. Is it the one that just kind of goes in the ear?
It's the standard one, although not to give you too much info, but we had a swap where I think I somehow got my hands on my father-in-law's headpiece. I think that's what I have, and ever since then, and he has mine. Ever since we had a little switcheroo, I've been having issues. But it's the main, just the white one, the earbuds, you know, with the mic on it.
Well, you sound fine now, Sam, and now we can move on, now that we've gotten the audio out of the way, with what we were talking about. We'll move into basketball here full throttle in just a second. Curious for you, though, as a national guy, as a guy whose job is to purely write about basketball, how do you handle the increasing intersection between politics and sports? Do you just stay out of it entirely, or do you find that a bigger challenge as the weeks and months go by?
I mean, I don't mind that part of the job at all. In fact, there's plenty of days where, you know, it's fulfilling to get a little bit beyond the hardwood. And, you know, we cover a league that obviously is so diverse that you've got a lot of viewpoints. I think you're not doing your job if you're not reflecting some of that conversation. And, you know, there was a lot of that last year. There's been a ton of that ever since. I mean, if you think about it, for me individually, it's like 2010 is when I started covering the league on a league-wide basis. And, you know, you had Donald Sterling with the Clippers, you know, as a major, major story with, you know, just a racially charged discussion. And since then, a lot of stories like that. And so, you know, my philosophy, I guess, would be to learn as much as possible about the different viewpoints. And then whenever you're talking to certain subjects about how they see it, just try to hit the nail on the head as far as reflecting their views and trying to be fair. And, you know, I mean, I've written a fair amount about that. And, you know, coincidentally and not surprisingly, today or tomorrow, I'll probably be doing something on the Warriors situation and how they're doing this uncomfortable dance with Donald Trump regarding the potential White House visit that I don't think is ever going to happen because, you know, Donald doesn't like having people say no to him. And it seems pretty clear that the Warriors have no interest in going to the White House.
Well, and that to me is I'm not 100% sure if that's the case. I think more of it stems from criticism, correct?
More of which, Katie?
More of whether or not the invitation would happen or not. I don't think it's about people maybe not wanting to go. I don't think everyone has been asked, and even Steph Curry came out and said, yeah, I would attend because I don't want to taint what we've done by not, this is part of the tradition. This is what you do when you win a championship. You go to the White House. It's part of the whole thing. So he said, you know, yeah, I'd probably attend. So I think whether or not the invitation comes, if it doesn't come, it's because, you know, he's been openly criticized.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the case. And maybe I'm guilty of taking a little too much time off in the summer, because I thought the last that I had read from Steph, that I believe Marcus Thompson had written for The Athletic, I want to say it was from the golf tournament that Steph played in, was I thought he had said that was not something he wanted to do. And I mean, I can tell you from the past that Steph had told me that he, you know, and this was from last season, that potentially he had no interest. But who knows? I mean, the bottom line is that, I mean, to your question, Dave, it's just, you know, it's something where
I misspoke. You're right. In mid-June, he said he was leaning against going because he didn't want to taint it. Yeah, I misspoke.
And I mean, I did an interview. You talk about the core players on the Warriors. I talked to Andre Iguodala during the finals and wrote something right after they won the championship with him on record saying, no, thank you. So mm-hmm. It's another guy who would be out. And they are a team that, in terms of their culture, they're going to follow their leaders. The one guy, you know, Steve Kerr has been as critical of the president as anybody. So there's part of me that wouldn't be surprised if he's not the next guy to come out and say,
Sammy, I'm sorry, nope. Sam, I cut you off.
No, that's all. I just think I could see Steve speaking out and saying, you know, we don't want to go. And then it's interesting for Adam Silver, too, because he had said recently that he does think that the champion should go. But, you know, the larger question, guys, is, you know, there's a lot going on politically and socially right now. I don't think we're doing our jobs if we just pretend that the bouncing ball is the only thing that matters.
And that is Sam Amick joining us on KHDK. You know, with Kevin Durant, and I've talked to you about this before, you enjoy a pretty good relationship with him. And it seems like, I want to say, God, was it two summers ago? I want to say you were embedded with him for a minute. Something cracked inside of him. And I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way, just something changed. And it was a summer where you'll remember this, Sammy, he came out, he started using the occasional curse word in what he spoke, in how he spoke. And I think he said something, and I'm totally paraphrasing here, like, listen, you know, I as I get older, as I get more mature, I'm going to start speaking my mind more. I don't feel like the world has seen Kevin Durant. What happened, and how has he kind of continued that trend over these last couple years?
I mean, the story you're talking about, it was three summers ago at this point, because it was two summers before his free agency, and we were in Oklahoma City, and it is, I mean, I think you're right on point, Dave, as far as the change in him, and it is a little weird for me, because I do feel like I was there in person for the first time he did it publicly. So we're sitting in the back of this Suburban, right in front of his place in OKC downtown, and we're doing the interview in the car. We had been driving from this event. We came back and he's talking, and the kind of the spark of it was he had been criticized for pulling out of the Team USA camp, if you guys remember that story.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That summer. And I had just mentioned, hey, you've taken some criticism for that. You know, how do you see it? And all of a sudden he was off and running with this whole thing was, you know what, you know, I don't give a bleep about what people say, da da da. And he was, you know, I remember even mid-sentence kind of laughing and telling him that he sounded like Kobe. And I was like, who are you right now? This is a new Kevin Durant. And he, you know, I think it is just getting older. And I think he, I don't know if he would ever say it this bluntly. I think he reached a point where, to a degree, I think he kind of resented or just wasn't real fond of the golden boy image that he had for the first few years in the league. Not that there's anything bad with it, but it was, I think he thinks the media took it too far, that it kind of created this devil and this angel dynamic in OKC where Russ was the bad guy and Kevin could do no wrong. I don't think he liked the framing of his image, you know, to that extent. And then he just started being more real and speaking his mind. And, you know, there've been times when you read something he says and you go, all right, Kev, you know, you're speaking your mind, but I don't know if you need to speak on everything or go that far. I mean, he's trying to find his voice, and you see a lot of these guys do that. And I thought his comments yesterday were fine. You know, he spoke what he thought. He was at a parade, obviously not that far from the nation's capital. And he was asked about the climate, and there's some tough stuff going on right now. Obviously, he made it clear how he sees it.
Sam Amick, USA Today, joining us this morning on The Drive. I want to get into some other players right now. There's two guys that, as training camp quickly approaches, I'm scratching my head trying to figure out what's going to happen with them, and that's Kyrie Irving and Carmelo Anthony. Is there any indication right now that either the Knicks or the Cavs are going to be able to make a deal happen before the start of camp?
Not in my circles. It just seems like you've got for the Cavs, I guess I'll start with them. You've got a challenging dynamic, and it's, becoming more and more clear over time how challenging it is, because with LeBron's free agency coming up next summer, with, it's not just media hype, this idea that he might not re-sign in Cleveland next summer. It's a real thing, and so it's got this really tricky ripple effect on the Cavs. If you are in a situation where you're trying to trade Kyrie Irving for maximum value, then all of a sudden you're going to consider the packages that previously would have not even been in consideration, meaning like rebuilding packages, what if LeBron leaves packages. So you have those kinds of offers, and then you have the other side, which is we still have LeBron James and we want to win a championship. So we go for more veteran laden packages. And so strategically you kind of have two tracks that you're trying to navigate and figure out what to do. That doesn't make it easy. It doesn't really matter. The only reason that matters which teams Kyrie wants to go to is obviously the idea that he would re-sign with them or sign an extension. But I think that has a minimal impact on the situation. I don't know what's going to happen there. The other – geez, Katie, must be too early for me. What's the other one you
asked about? Carmelo Anthony and what's going on with the Knicks, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he – when we were in summer league, I mean, I had players – who were tight with Melo, who happened to be there at summer league. I remember one night, I thought I was kind of done working for the night. It was about 5 p.m. and ran into this one guy, and he's literally sitting there telling me, yeah, I think it's actually going to happen tonight. He's going to go to Houston. And, it seemed like it was really getting that close. And the Rockets, that's where he wants to be. That's where he's willing to waive the no trade clause, the Cleveland thing. Looked like a possibility for a minute, but now there's so much uncertainty there that that's not of interest. So I don't know exactly what the haggling has been about. You had the changeover, as you guys know as well as anybody, in the Knicks front office with Scott Perry going that direction. And so, Scott had attempted to recalibrate with Melo and see if the situation could be resolved and just keep him for this season. But now it seems like it's swung back the other way, where he's probably headed out, but I don't know, what's holding the deal up.
If you're Dan Gilbert, do you sit LeBron down and say, dude, I need an answer. I got to know. Are you leaving or not? You got, or does LeBron not owe Dan Gilbert anything?
I mean, I don't know how much sway. I don't know. It's such a fascinating dynamic, because that was never, in my opinion, has been, that was never water under the bridge between those two guys. And LeBron has since admitted that, he came home against the, the protests of his mom and his wife. Like, I don't know if you guys saw this, but The Uninterrupted had a really fascinating show or a video where LeBron was sitting in a barbershop with Draymond Green and his agent, Rich Paul.
Yes, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And in that video, he put it in a way where anybody can relate to it. Forget about how much money he makes, and forget about what his job is, because we can all relate to some decision in life where mom and your wife are not feeling it and you do it anyway. he was kind of that's how he came back to Cleveland. And basically there's not a lot of trust. And since then, I don't think that's gotten better. I'm torn on it, because he's got to realize that they have paid out the nose in luxury tax, and it's not like Dan hasn't stepped up since he got back. But, now I don't think Dan has any influence on LeBron. And the thing I'm curious about, I don't know Dan well enough to know how he's going to play this situation, but because he has been burned before, and because he promised to the Cavs fans in that Comic Sans letter, the infamous letter that he wrote, that he would never, let his Cavs fans be hurt again like this. There's part of me that has wondered you know, how is he going to play it? I mean, LeBron's got a no trade clause, so they don't have any power there. But it's uncomfortable. And this year, the thing for me that I wonder if, when we look back on this season, is there any chance that LeBron's going to regret kind of playing this thing the way he has, because he's in his prime and he doesn't have any time to have a wasted season. Not to say that, you know, I mean, LeBron's standards are different, right? So he's going to win a bunch of games, but if they have dysfunction all the way through and they have new pieces that don't fit, you know, I mean, maybe he doesn't go back to the finals again. All of a sudden, you know, you're looking at a guy who's still playing at his peak, you know, having the landscape around him that didn't let him succeed. That would be too bad.
Sam, one of the crazy things, and I hate to have to bring this up, but it's news here in Sacramento, is the situation with Zach Randolph and the arrest with the marijuana in his backpack in L.A. recently. The Kings gained so much momentum this offseason and how they drafted, the pieces that they signed in free agency, and it genuinely is the most excited I've seen Kings fans in the entire time I've covered this team over the last 10 years. But if you're the Kings right now, what are you looking at with that situation, and how do you go about handling that?
It's tough. I mean, I felt bad for all involved when I first saw the news. I like Zach. I've always enjoyed him, and I kind of applaud anybody who takes his career. You know, you guys remember the Portland days when his image was not very positive, and there were some tough times early on, and then lo and behold, he did a lot of years in Memphis where he was considered part of the solution, not part of the problem. And, you know, very embedded in the community, you know, a guy who his teammates loved, you know, Dave Yeager swears by him, obviously wanted to bring him back and rejoin and reunite with him in Sacramento. It's just the timing's terrible, because here's the thing I think people might be overlooking about the Kings is that, like, I feel like for their sake, you know, I kind of wish that they could have gotten through the whole summer with nothing but positive PR. But then you have Scott Perry go to the Knicks, which is a tough blow.
Yep.
And I know they tried to kind of resupply the front office, and that was a good move. But then you've got the Zach Randolph thing. And the reason that matters even more than folks might even give it credit for is that for all the positivity, they're still not going to be a very good team. They're going to have exciting nights, and it's going to be fun to see the young guys develop and the older guys bring them along. But, you know, the season itself is going to, in terms of just satisfaction for the fan base, it's going to be kind of a crapshoot, I think. And it'll be interesting, which is a nice step forward. But the off season is when, you know, they were going to be pumping their fists. And then you had this stuff happen. I don't know, you know, I don't know enough about it on Zach's part to speak to, you know, why or what led to it, and I don't believe, I mean, I don't think he's said anything publicly, has he?
No, not
that we've heard, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and I know that we had called the police department that day just because we had to do a news story, and, you know, it's, they obviously, they didn't use the terminology intent to sell, but obviously the amount that he had was in that category. I forget the terminology that they had used, but it's a bad look any way you slice it. And again, the timing's just bad, because now all of a sudden, you know, he comes into that locker room with just a little bit of a different tint, and that's unfortunate.
Sam Amick with us, USA Today. And I want to outline this question, Sam, because, listen, Sam writes an article for USA Today, and part of his grade as an employee is based on hits and web stuff and all that. We do a radio show, and a big part of our deal is ratings, and those ratings are based in large part on basketball, because we're the home of the Kings. That being said, Sam, we were going into last year, and the big worry was, well, just put the Warriors and the Cavs back in the finals, and now the Warriors have Kevin Durant. They're probably going to win it all. Is it almost worse this year, you know, when you fight apathy amongst fans that – especially on the Warriors side, if they won the whole thing last year in their first year with Kevin Durant, isn't it basically now, unless they get injured, it's rinse and repeat?
I mean, the only saving grace is that some of the other teams have, I was going to say in the West, but it's in the East too, have given us compelling stuff to follow. I'm not trying to pretend that the Rockets and the Thunder are right there with the Warriors, but I, you know, at least give me a couple of months to learn about how OKC looks with Paul George and Russell Westbrook so that I can decide if they have a puncher's chance at the Warriors. I don't think they do, but they are at least, that's you can't get more interesting than that. Superstars, you know, unexpectedly joining forces, that's a fun story. Same thing in Houston. Chris Paul, James Harden, you know, how are they going to fit? And so that part makes me happy because we have stuff to monitor. And yes, you could argue that none of it matters because neither of those teams, even on their best days, are going to beat the Warriors. But, like, it's still interesting. So that, you know, in Boston, too, I would put in that category. You know, I'm disappointed that they had to lose Avery Bradley as part of their restructuring. Mm-hmm. But getting Gordon Hayward was a big-time move. Isaiah Thomas coming up on a free agency year is fascinating because, you know, he keeps having that soundbite about Boston backing up the Brinks truck to pay him next summer. Well, he's got to keep his game at that same level, and he's got this hip problem that I think is worth monitoring. So there's storylines, but, you know, yeah, I mean, you could still go to bed at night feeling like it's the Warriors and everyone else. And the Cavs thing does kind of feed that fire because at least the last couple of years, what we had settled on was the idea that at least we knew the finals were going to be compelling. Cavs, Warriors, you know, the same two teams had never done it 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And we may have lost that storyline, maybe not, but I feel like there's still a lot to watch.
Sam, to give you a quick reprieve before we let you go from the always hard-hitting questions
yes.
that Dave and I ask you.
Yes.
If you were a betting man and you were to walk into a sports book in Vegas today with a $100 bill, who would you put your money on for Rookie of the Year, Lonzo Ball or Ben Simmons?
Or other.
I didn't give him that option.
Okay, sorry.
Man, we're giving De'Aaron Fox no love. Jeez.
Well, those are the two odds favorites to win.
According
That's
to Las
why.
Vegas, Simmons and Ball are splitting the Rookie of the Year odds.
I mean, the safe answer is probably Lonzo just based on, you know, I need to see Ben stay on the court from a health standpoint. Not only that, last time I checked, he's still wearing a Sixers jersey, which means you're cursed at least the last couple of years.
Yep.
So, you know, I picked Lonzo. I haven't seen enough of Ben, and I'm looking forward to seeing his game because coming out of college, obviously, a ton of questions. He's one of those guys that I've always found interesting because you come from a losing college program and you know, people want to see if that impacted kind of your fiber as a player mm-hmm. and if you can make it work in the NBA. Like a James Harden, a lot of questions about him coming out of Arizona State. Obviously, it didn't matter. He's a great player. But Lonzo looked really, really good at Summer League. And so just in terms of talent and the eyeball test and what I'm seeing so far, forget about his dad for a second. I know that's hard. But, I mean, he was compelling. I mean, he's just electric, a leader. Took some garbage. I mean, not garbage. It's, you know, there's competitors out there. But, like, I noticed in Summer League, you know, more than normal of other guys bumping him, you know, between the breaks and the whistle. And I feel like he's going to have to fight through some stuff this year on the court.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a very good player. And he's one of those guys that makes guys better. And
so your money's on Lonzo.
Yeah.
All right.
His proverbial money is on Lonzo as a national basketball writer. The freshly tanned, or at least as tan as Sam can get, Sam Amick joining us. Always appreciate your
Thanks,
time,
Sam.
Buddy.
You would know, Dave. You would know.
Yes, I would. Those tan lines,
Thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
See ya. That's Sam Amick. We're late for a break. We will take one right now. When we get back, these are some old quotes, but we hadn't gotten to them yet. Penny Hardaway and Dante Jones weighing in on Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard, whether or not they're top 10 and or superstar players will reset.
Yee.
Everything from today as well. Big injury for the Oakland Raiders. And you may not see football in 2021, which is a while away. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. As Matt mentioned, Sean Smith arrested yesterday, faces felony assault charges after being accused of Well, Sean Smith was arrested Thursday afternoon, if you didn't hear me.
What?
I don't know if we want to what this story. Faces felony assault charges after...
You can.
You just
can.
Check out sometimes.
No, you
don't
can.
You?
It's like, what?
No,
what?
It's not.
Oh, yes.
No, it isn't.
Don't
Dirk's,
question
by the
me.
Way, Dirk's Bentley tickets in the next segment. Let me just reset.
All right.
Sean Smith was arrested yesterday, Oakland Raiders cornerback, and faces felony assault charges after being accused of beating his sister's boyfriend last month. The DA said that Smith will face one felony count each of assault by means of force likely to produce great bodily injury and battery with serious injury as well, released on $80,000 bail. Could face up to 7 years in prison. The Raiders have yet to comment on the situation. From a football point of view, TJ Carey started getting first-team reps last week. Garen Conley was also expected to push him there as well, Sean Smith, that is, but he has not practiced since minicamp back June 13th. So there you go. The Raiders will host the Rams in their preseason home opener this Saturday night. Conley still out. Smith, who knows there? So cornerback's going to be a bit of a concern, obviously, this Saturday. But bigger fish to fry for Sean Smith. So there you go there. The Sacramento Kings, or at least the video version of the Sacramento Kings, are going to be on the NBA 2K game coming out. 2K18. The Sacramento squad was unveiled as one of the classic teams, which I imagine if they did it right, it's going to be one of the more fun teams to play with as a video game. I don't need to tell you the history. They've got a whole release here with the history of the team. I don't need to tell you about that, other than it'll have Weber, Bibby, Peja, Vlade, Bobby Jackson, Ito Turkoglu, amongst others. Hopefully our good friend Scott Pollard.
Lawrence Funderburk better be on that team.
Will be there, I would imagine. Lawrence Funderburk would be there. Gerald Wallace should be there at the end of the bench.
So I'm not a gamer. How does this work? Are you going to be able to take the 2002 Kings team and play the, the 76 Celtics?
I don't know if you can play other classic teams or not. Or you can just take them as a team. You take them and play that team against whoever. I would imagine. Matt, you're the gamer.
Yeah, you can put them against anyone you want. I can't wait to do the 2002 Kings versus last year's Warriors or this year's Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
Hopefully the game will also include.
I wonder if you can do a rematch of the Lakers Kings in 2002.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. They have the 02-03 Lakers, I think.
Will they have the 02 officiating crew?
Hey, Zinger. I mean, the officiating is already terrible in sports video games.
Exactly.
All you have to do is go into the settings and turn all the fouls way up.
That's what will happen. If they really want to do it right, just step it up. And anytime that Kings team plays a Lakers team, everything's a foul. I hope they will you be able to recreate Mike Bibby fouling Kobe Bryant's elbow with his face and drawing blood? Because that would be awesome. And then, of course, in game seven, if it's a seven game series, no shot from the Kings will go in whatsoever. We'd be able to recreate them going 2 of 20 from behind the arc.
What about the free throw line?
16 of 30 from the free throw line.
Video games give us a chance to change the course of history, Dave. You can live your dreams vicariously and through digital form.
Yeah, sounds realistic.
I was talking about this on Twitter yesterday, and somebody said, "Are you still salty over that?" Hell yeah, still salty. That's like Steve Bartman. It's kind of the same thing. The only thing that's going to take the salt away from that is the Kings winning a title.
Well, I have a question for Katie too. NBA Live, which is the counter to NBA 2K or the rival of NBA 2K.
Okay,
they've released this year's game is going to include all the WNBA teams and their rosters on it.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about that?
You like that? Isn't that cool?
It is cool. Yeah, I'm not a gamer, so I don't understand how this works.
I know, but it's exposure for.
It's nice that the W. Sadly, I'm sitting here going, great, just another way for, males that don't like women playing sports to rip them.
Well,
EA Sports did this earlier in the year for last year's FIFA, and they included all the major women's national teams. So mm-hmm. Team USA was in it, the women's national team.
Yeah, but the women's soccer gets so much more respect than the WNBA, in the sense that it's the national team,
they've won
that
national
kind
scale.
Of thing. Yeah, I mean, and the women's Team USA has just dominated the world for years now. But I don't know what it is, because it's basketball to me. I feel like there's a lack of respect between the difference between the NBA and the WNBA. And it is what it is. I'm not telling people what they need to like. I'm just saying, hey, if you don't like it, why do you have to rip it? Like, there's a lot of things I don't like. I don't go out there and rip it. I just don't pay attention to it.
Probably because it's a major American sport that doesn't necessarily—I mean, does women's basketball have a massive overseas appeal to us here? Not really. I mean, I know that's where the majority of players get their paychecks, right, is better overseas,
you know,
contracts.
You know, it's like kind of like when you say I don't really care what people's opinions are unless they know me type mm-hmm. thing. It's like, I don't really care if people don't like the WNBA or women's basketball. Like, the people that their opinions matter to me are, like, players. Like, I love the story that came out, I think it was this week, with Kobe Bryant talking about how his daughter is obsessed with the WNBA and how much he supports it and why he supports it. And you hear current players all the time talking about, like, WNBA players and the game and where it's gone. Like, that, those are the people. And they're not just saying that because they have to say it. Like, they just won't say anything.
Will the WNBA, will we be able to play other other WNBA teams?
Yeah, I don't know if you can play men's teams.
You know, okay.
That would be cool, though.
And then I wonder how they're going to do it. Like,
they're going to be like, oh, can I get my high school basketball boys team to play against the WNBA champion and watch us beat them? That's what it's going to be.
Well, I mean, maybe not.
Oh,
who
seriously.
Knows? I wonder if the will they.
Sorry
let...
if I'm jaded on this, but I had years of and still deal with it.
Man,
it is what it is, man.
Salty party of one.
Well, I mean, as long as you're comparing the WNBA to the NBA or comparing any major women's sport to a major men's sport, a lot of people are going to be, I guess, turned off by it. But as soon as you start looking at it as its own entity, like, for example, baseball and softball are completely different. But as soon as I started watching softball and recognizing the different parts of softball that make softball softball, you start to enjoy the game more. WNBA has those.
I completely agree with you. I the people that go out of their way to rip women's sports, to me, are silly.
Well, they couldn't play women's sports anyway, even if they're guys.
Right.
They'd get their butts kicked.
Listen, when you get people starting to say, well, it's just as good as the men's side, okay, well, now we have a problem. Now we're going to discuss that. But as you said, if you look at them as each their own entity, you're 100% correct. That's this, and this is that, and they're the same sport, yet they're a different sport. It's a completely different thing. You don't need to have them both on an equal level. I do wonder if you'll be able to pump up some of the if they'll allow you to pump up some of the WNBA players' attributes to where you can dunk with them. And the only reason I ask is I'm looking at one of the screenshots. Look, Katie, she's dunking.
Yeah, I mean, Brittany Griner can drop step dunk.
So I wonder if that's going to be like a thing, where will they all be able to, not all, but most be able to dunk?
There's multiple WNBA players that can dunk.
There are?
Uh-huh.
No. Well, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean,
I know multiple have.
This is something you have to recognize. There's a difference in the game. Like, you don't have a legal defense in the WNBA. Like, that eliminates a little bit. Athletic ability is a little bit different. It's Brittany Griner can drop step dunk. She can jump, but she's also freakishly tall. So that makes it easier for her. A lot of you don't get, like, the breakaways, the one-on-one opportunities in the WNBA just because of the defensive rules that you get in the NBA. So there.
Tony, you're on the drive.
I like them apples.
Tony.
Morning.
Hey.
Biggest fans here, one of your biggest fans, of all of you, especially Katie. I just wanted to chime in on the this, you know, I don't and how relevant it is. You know, of course, it's just good talk. But when I was in high school in Orange County, we used to practice against a college. It was Southern California Christian College in Costa Mesa. And I tell you, we had great shooters. I mean, we had a couple guys that averaged over 20 points on my team. And I'm going to tell you something. I played small forward, and I got beat up more in those practices. Of course, you know, we were younger than those ladies. But when they came down to the post, I couldn't even keep the girls out of the square. And I know any guys out there that want to admit or can admit, if you've played a certain level of college basketball, you know, in as competitive as it was, we got beat. We got killed every time because it was the offense that they ran, and they were just such tremendous outside shooters.
Team woman, Tony. Thanks
hey,
for
listen,
the call.
I've
hey,
told-
I'll say this.
Wow.
I think I've told the story a couple times, but my first year in the WNBA was Dan Marley's first year out of the NBA, and he came in and was on our male practice squad, and he's like, man, I had no idea. You guys are brutal. He did not like it. He wanted no part of it.
I've told the story 50,000 times. I was nowhere near any level you were at. I played over at Cal Fit one time, and Danielle Viglione, who went to Del Campo, who was cut from the Monarchs, she was playing over there. It was 5-on-5. This is back when I was in shape. We're all in shape. There were a couple of high school players on there. She beat our asses on the road. It was crazy. We'll break. We'll come back. Morning, or not morning brew. Rebrew is next. It's the Drive, Sports 1140.
The morning rebrew.
Wow. I got to make a game time decision tomorrow. Supposed to take the kids. My son's opening day is tomorrow for baseball, and then we're going to follow up and go to a Giants game. It's the first game we go to all year long. But with me being, you know, it's like my parents had that rule. You miss a day of school, you're not doing anything over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Well, I missed a day, or actually missed 2 days.
Yeah.
So do I have to send the wife and kids? But then am I kind of screwing my wife, and not in the good way? She has to take the kids by herself to, you know, to the Giants game.
Wait, hold on. Your son is starting his baseball season tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Soccer season.
Okay.
I apologize.
I'm so confused.
It's opening day for soccer. And then, you know, we're going to follow up and go to a baseball game. Excuse me. Yeah, that would be a little bit weird. Little League in the fall. I'd be all for it.
First pitch.
Here's rebrew number one. Quarantine. That's what you do. Oh, but I don't get you sick today. I really do. That's the worst thing.
I hope not. I have a big day today. I leave tomorrow morning to go to San Francisco and then San Jose with my family.
That's funny.
I've got surgery on Tuesday.
You and I are both going to be in San Francisco on the same day.
Yeah, but I'm going to be at Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Where apparently they should probably just lock me up and throw away the key.
Why?
I don't know. I'm pissing
people off.
You said
apparently.
I'm pissing people off.
Oh, are you getting in Twitter fights?
Yeah, you know. Conversations.
Yeah.
Really.
Just tell them all to screw themselves. That always works. Rebrew number two.
That's always the right answer.
Yes, Katie
right as that rebrew is playing, what pops up on my Twitter feed? A New York Times article that says the eclipse isn't just an eclipse, it's a test for the future of solar power, Dave.
Oh, God.
Aliens.
All right.
Next up.
Roll up to Oregon.
How's that climate on Mars?
Oh, look, honey, it's the eclipse. Oh, I can't look at it. Glasses.
Stop making fun of my parents.
Rebrew number three.
That was phenomenal.
Oh, we're going to miss you.
Phenomenal, Matt George.
We're going to miss you a little bit, Matt.
Those sweet pipes you got are going to be on traffic very soon. And boy, do they have a winner.
Guy's with us for a year, and only now does he start to show a little bit of talent. My goodness.
Better late than never, right?
All right.
What do you think I was doing during the Sam Amick interview?
He's taking his talents to Traffic Beach.
That's awesome. Well done, Matt George.
12th caller at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 gets Dirks Bentley tickets. Enjoy that show August 19th, Toyota Amphitheater. And by my count, that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Get in there now. For Matt George, a.k.a. Walter Winchell, for Katie Christensen, who does physically abuse me constantly, I am Carmichael Dave. And save your tweet. I wish Katie physically abused me. Yeah, until you get a shot to the you know wheres.
The you know wheres.
We'll see you at the throat. We'll see you Monday. Jeez. Bright and early. 6 a.m. Please have a great weekend. Is Cage to K Jr. on tomorrow?
It is.
10 a.m.?
10 or no, 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
8 to 10.
You and Chuckles?
Yep.
All right.
Chuckles. Yeah, the clown.
Stay tuned for that, kids. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day. This is Sports 1140.